This is Stuart Moxham of The Gist, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM. WGXC.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by The Highway Drive-In, a four-screen drive-in movie theater in Coxsackie, New York. Information and schedule at HIWAYDriveIn.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Elaine Shimono of Hudson, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. it's time for you to run.
You told me already earlier you were going to compete and I have to leave.
Michelle just may blow up and say, what are you doing?
You want to push me in the kitchen? I will scream at everybody.
Michelle's arrogant. It's French. She's a chef. All chefs are arrogant.
Stop repeating, okay?
French people enjoy the quality of life a little more than the American.
Nice appeal.
Michelle can be very, very difficult to work with.
Jane!
Michelle?
Serve that. That cannot sit.
He's got an ego the size of France.
As soon as it's ready.
Come on, I need that too.
Let's fix it.
No.
I'm getting frustrated.
The atmosphere here is definitely geared toward a more mature crowd. This is the kind of restaurant that you take your grandma out for a nice meal. It's not really the happening Saturday night spot.
Michelle is having a tough time making ends meet. I can only imagine what his books must look like.
Dark chocolate tyrian and
that's how you work. There's finger marks in there where someone's gone in with their hands. That's how you work.
Sometimes, yeah.
Chef Wayne, please tell the judges what you made.
I made a pan-fried oyster with a vinaigrette of French dressing and white wine vinegar with Chinese okra.
Next, Chef Rosalind.
My dish is Spanish oysters with orange and a little Chinese okra.
Next up, Chef Adam.
What I've made for you is a Chinese okra oyster grilled flatbread.
And Chef Sean.
What I've made for you today is baked oysters with a clementine Chinese okra mignonette with a little bit of arugula salad.
So, whose dish is on the chopping block?
Nostra nostra
challenge and succeeding.
We're going to be acknowledged as a real foodie town. First thing that I do is I get the kombucha squash going. I throw it in a pan with oil and cumin, and I'm just going to rock it out.
So start cutting the squash. I got to boil it down. I know it can make it sweet to do a compote. Imagine this over a salad. It's perfect.
What's the best way to keep the guacamole green? And there's really one key ingredient, lemon juice. There are all these theories about having the seed in it. Forget it. It's really about fresh lemon juice, and it's got to be freshly squeezed lemon juice. Okay, I've got that. And then all kinds of delicious things to season it with. Hot sauce. I like when it's really spicy. You can decide how hot you want yours. I like garlic in it, so chopped garlic. Red onions. It's going to be so good. Lots of salt. And freshly ground pepper. And this is the secret to really good guacamole. I don't puree it. All I do is cut into it, just like this. So it's really chunky. It mixes the ingredients together. And it stays really chunky this way.
Got some sweet potato chips. So I'm going to hit it up with a little salt. I'm going to hit it up with some pepper, a little oil, and I'm going to use a little bit of smoked paprika again just to give it some flavour.
Right, we're doing some sweet potato fries.
Look at the way he shakes it up. These go in the oven at the same time as our chicken. So just put them out flat on the sweet potato fries. If you want to make them crunchy, we're going to take semolina. So this is going to go super crispy. Shake it around. Happy days. So this grill will go in the oven for about half an hour, guys. 180 degrees Celsius, 350 degrees Fahrenheit. The sweet potato fries put on the bottom,
yeah.
And they'll get baked on the top and get a little bit crispy on the bottom.
Sure.
And that's it.
That's it.
skin can get really nice and crispy. See, it looks less glossy too.
I'm just checking inside the cavity. Sometimes there's little giblets or something to take out, a little piece of fat.
Also going to dry inside the cavity to get rid of any excess water that will also make it steam. So the night before you plan on cooking it, take it out, dry it off, season it, and then put it back in the fridge overnight. This will give it enough time for the salt to permeate through the chicken while drying out the skin and retaining the moisture inside the bird.
A very simple, but very straightforward roasted chicken. Simple. I have a beautiful chicken here, 3 pounds, three and a half pounds. The first thing that I do when I roast it, I remove the wishbone, which is that triangle here that you have on each side there. You can feel it. You cut on each side, then after with your hand, your finger, you know, just push it forward to get to the end of it. Then put your finger on the back of it, your thumb in the back of it, and bring it back down, you know. So this is that wishbone here, which is really here, and it's a pain in the neck texturally. When you do the carving in the dining room, it's in the way, so I always remove it. Same thing with turkey, duck for that matter. Make sure that when you buy it, you have enough that you have a bit of a skin here. The wing I can bring in the back like this, and I can cook it this way, although I tend to like to truss it so that it holds a better shape. And what I use here is butcher twine, you know, don't use something in plastic. There is about five different ways of trussing, with a trussing needle and so forth. This is without needle, and it's relatively simple. I go underneath like this, and you cross above. Then here you go under the drumstick and close it. Then put it on the side here, turn it around, and bringing behind the wing to anchor it. You always do a couple, two or three turns like this, because when you tighten it, it doesn't open, you know? So a second thing, and that's it. So my chicken is trussed.
Up to temperature. What I mean by that is tempering it so that the product is at room temperature before you start to roast. If it's cold when it goes in the oven, obviously the temperature is going to drop in the oven, so it doesn't cook evenly, it takes longer to cook.
We need to let it rest.
Towards the leg. Don't even make a deep incision. And then we're going to pop the hips, the thigh bones out of the socket. So just feel that. All right. Popped out. We're going to flip it over, and if you bunch them together a little bit towards the spine, you're going to see we have two little mounds here. That's the chicken oyster. Very delectable part of meat, piece of meat. There's no reason for us to waste it, so we're going to make sure we get that. So if you pull the
thigh towards the spine a little bit, you're going to see that the oyster pops out a little bit, and it's going to help guide you. So we're going to move the knife around it and then cut down the spine to free the leg. So got that little oyster popped up. You can just pull away a little bit. Leg number one. All right, we do the same on the other side. Oyster is plumped up a little bit, cut around it. Down. Leg number two. All right. We're going to flip the chicken back. So we have our legs here. We'll cut those in half a little later. So now we're going to remove the spine. Just a little detail for me when I'm removing the spine. I want to keep as much of the rib cage on the breast as possible. Again, the skin on the breast is very delicate. It's very likely to fall off when you're deep frying if you're not careful. So we just want to give it as much assistance as we can. So keeping a bit of the rib cage here on the back towards the spine will help anchor the skin to the spine and anchor the skin to the breast as well when you're frying it. So I like to make an incision on the breast. And then again, this is the rib cage here and the same on the other side. I'm going to keep the knife as far away as possible to keep the rib cage intact. So I'm going to cut downwards a little bit and then pull back. That's going to expose the wishbone, clavicle bone, and the neck. So then I just take the tip of the knife, punk downwards, same on the other side, and then that should free us with a chicken back, which is obviously great for stock. That's what we do with it in the restaurant. We turn it into bone broth, and we're keeping, again, it was cut very close to the spine so that there's as much of this rib cage as possible on the skin. Okay, back there. All right, so now we still have the what was the head of the chicken facing us. We're going to remove the wings. So again, you can see how pronounced the rib cage is on the chicken. The wing is pretty straightforward. There's a small articulation at the shoulder that we want to work around. If you pull it back, you're going to see that there's a little armpit here. That's where you're going to put your knife. And it should expose the cartilage right here at the shoulder bone. You don't want to cut too deep into the breast. You just want to cut just around that, and you'll give yourself a wing. Same on the other side. Pull it up a little bit. You see there's a little armpit there. You just bury your knife to expose it. Cut around the articulation of the shoulder. That's another wing. All right, so far we got 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces. And then this is the breast piece. As I've been harping on about, the breast skin is the most delicate. It's the most difficult to preserve when you're deep frying it. So we just want to be really delicate here to maintain the integrity of the skin. So I keep the skin down on the board, and then in between here is going to be the keel bone, where we're going to split the bird in half. It's helpful and important to have a sharp knife at this point, so that way you're not dragging the skin on the board. If you drag the skin on the board, it might tear, it might pull off the meat, and then when you fry it later, it's going to be kind of a messy piece. You know, what you really want out of a really beautifully fried chicken breast is that there's this bite of skin and meat, and it's just all one perfect bite. So that's just a little crucial detail to think about here. So right in the middle, the keel bone, I'll just make a little incision. And then if you got a sharp knife, you can just push downwards and just gently pull the knife back. And then you're going to have two.
जिन चीजों का जो मोस्ट इम्पोर्टेंट इसके पार्ट है वो ज्यादातर चिकन जो है वो अपने सेंटर पैक है 6 है विंग्स ब्रेस्ट पार्ट उसका 2 विंग्स 4 ब्रेस्ट में से 2 अपर और 2 लोअर ब्रेस्ट और उसके बाद उसके 2 लेग ये 8 कट है 2 विंग्स के ब्रेस्ट के 2 पार्ट हाफ ऊपर का हाफ नीचे का 4 और 2 लेग्स 6 है अब उसमें से उन पार्ट्सों को भी और डिवाइड किया गया है जिसके बारे में आज हम डिटेल से थोड़ा सा बात को समझेंगे कि कुत्ते कैसे हैं और कहां कहां तो सबसे पहले जो है वो होल चिकन, होल चिकन के अंदर क्या होगा, चिकन का जो सिर्फ हेड है और जो इसकी टेल है उसको रिमूव किया जाएगा और इसके लेग्स को रिमूव किया जाएगा, बाकी पूरे का पूरा जो चिकन कहलाएगा वो कहलाएगा होल चिकन। हम इसके फेदर्स उतार देंगे, स्किन इसकी इसके साथ ही रहेगी, जो सिर्फ फेदर है उनको नोच के या जिस भी मशीन के थ्रू हम निकाल सकते हैं उसको, और बाकी चिकन जो बचा रहेगा उसको वो कहलाएगा होल चिकन। क्लियर है? सिर्फ हेड निकाला जाएगा, नेक जो है उसकी उसी के पास मौजूद रहेगी। क्लियर? इसके बाद दूसरा जो हमारा पार्ट है वो है चिकन ब्रेस्ट, ब्रेस्ट जो उसका आगे का हिस्सा होगा, ये वाला जो हिस्सा होगा वो क्या कहलाएगा, इतना यहां से लेकर यहां तक जाएगा ये नेक में, ठीक है। अब ये वाला जो हिस्सा है, ये वाला हिस्सा जाएगा ब्रेस्ट में, इसके बाद यहां से और ये वाला हिस्सा जाएगा विंग्स में, ये जो ऊपर होगा ये बैक इसका, ठीक है, ये टेल का हिस्सा निकल गया, और बाकी का ये जितना भी हिस्सा है ये कहलाएगा इसमें लेग में, ठीक है। क्लियर? तो अब जो ब्रेस्ट वाला पार्ट है वो क्या है, जो उसका सबसे बड़ा फ्लैश पार्ट है वो कहलाएगा क्या चीज, चिकन का ब्रेस्ट। ये दोनों तरीके से मिल सकता है, बोनलेस ज्यादातर हम इसी का बनाते हैं, इसके अंदर एक बहुत बारीक खट्टी होती है पत्ती, जिसको अगर हम मुगलई में जाए तो चबनी या चपनी कहलाती है, तो वो कहलाएगा ये या तो बोनलेस होगा, मोस्टली ये बोनलेस होता है कबाब बनाने के लिए, या फिर बहुत ज्यादा टेंडर होता है, या सब जिनको फैट नहीं चाहिए उनके लिए हम क्या करते हैं, चिकन ब्रेस्ट का यूज किया जाता है। इसके बाद है चिकन थाई। अब चिकन थाई क्या है, ये पूरी की पूरी ये वाली जो हिस्सा है ये पूरा का पूरा विद लेग ये कहलाएगा, इसका ये पंजा निकालकर ये वाला हिस्सा क्या कहलाएगा, चिकन थाई कहलाएगा पूरी, ठीक है।
At the bottom, look at that. That's a completely thawed out chicken breast. I'm really kind of in shock. I thought it would still kind of be frozen in the middle.
It's fully thawed.
Definitely works in a pinch when you forgot to thaw it the night before. This next method kind of blows your mind. Take some other frozen chicken, this is just ground chicken, and place it between two metal surfaces, ideally like two skillets or two pots, and then watch the magic happen. Sort of the same science behind the cast iron skillet method. I wish we had like the real time clock, because I'm not cheating this. It started frozen, I don't have any thawed to replace it with. Take a look at this, less than an hour, fully thawed and ready to cook. This is the one that really blew my mind. Love it. This next hack was a viral sensation on social media, shredding your chicken. Shredding the chicken in a plastic bag. I tried that one a while back and I was not fun. And you're just supposed to go to town. You have a greater chance of getting all these little bones mixed in. You could swallow that. But this one I am a fan of. The easiest, fastest, by far the fastest way to shred your chicken is with a hand mixer. Does work best when the chicken is still warm. Maybe get it into just like a couple big pieces. Whoa! That's fast! 5 seconds, less maybe.
extra moisture is the arch nemesis of crispy skin, so really do try to get the chicken as dry as possible. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, we're not going to stuff the cavity with anything today, so you can go ahead and truss the legs. To do that, slide some kitchen twine underneath the legs and then do a figure eight by wrapping the twine back across and under the legs again. Then pull it tight to pull the legs together and tie it in a knot. If you have some extra twine, you can just use scissors to snip that off. Place the chicken in your pan and then drizzle just a small amount, about a tablespoon or so, of olive oil or avocado oil on top of the chicken. You don't want too much oil because, again, you don't want moisture, but you do want just enough so that you have a thin, even layer all over and under the bird for your seasonings to stick. So in terms of seasonings, add a good amount of kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper, and then about a half a teaspoon of Italian seasoning. If you don't have this spice blend, you can add individual spices such as dried basil, thyme, and oregano. You could even add dried garlic or really any other spices you prefer. This is where you get to tweak the recipe to your liking. Once you've rubbed those spices all over the chicken, place the chicken in the oven and roast it for 70 to 90 minutes, depending on the size of your bird. I always check on it a bit early just to double check, but this chicken was close to 5 pounds.
Place this bird right on a rack in a heavy-bottomed roasting pan. This is a perfect pan for a chicken this size. It will roast very nicely in a 450-degree oven. Now, because the back of the oven is hotter than the front generally, I would suggest putting the drumsticks toward the rear of the oven and the breast toward the front. And when done, the thermometer should read 165 degrees when inserted into the thickest part of the thigh, approximately 50 minutes. So here's the roasted bird. Untruss it. Remember, it is 165 degrees in the thickest part of the thigh. And you can take the strings off and remove the bird itself to a platter. It's a little hot. I'll lift it up. Mm-hmm. A prettier view, don't you think? And now take out the rack. There's not too much in the way of drippings, which is probably a good sign, but if there's a little bit of fat, spoon out the fat. What you want are just those little brown bits here. And just spoon just the fat. And then you deglaze the pan with about a half a cup of white wine. Turn the heat on high, and a half a cup. Bring that to a boil and use one of these flat wooden spoons. This is the greatest spoon because it really allows you to scrape what's left in the pan. Once this starts to boil and dissolve those brown bits, those caramelized juices, it will come up very nicely. So the white wine is almost reduced. And now just add 1 or 2 tablespoons of butter to enrich the sauce. Let that melt into the chicken juices and the white wine. Thank you.
potatoes.
Place the beets on a piece of parchment inside a piece of foil, a little tiny bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, just a little bit, and then...
Cook this on the side. So at this point, I'm going to pull the chicken up and kind of prop it against the edge of the skillet there so that that thigh can start cooking. I really want the thigh part to be directly against the pan here. Some people will tell you that by trussing the chicken, you end up plumping up the breast, which makes it cook a little bit slower. I don't really think that's the case, and in fact, I've found that trussing a chicken is generally worse as far as getting the breasts and the legs to cook at an even rate. What ends up happening is that when you truss a chicken, you're really doing a lot more plumping of the legs, and you're also kind of protecting that inner part of the leg. So when you don't truss a chicken, the legs are kind of splayed out in a sort of pornographic way, you know, and there's a lot more exposure there, so your legs actually cook faster in an untrussed chicken than in a trussed chicken. So trussing actually sort of counteracts the idea counteracts the cooking, even cooking of the chicken, because it'll actually make the legs take longer to cook than the breasts. However, what we're doing now is we're searing those legs so that the trussing is kind of taken out of the picture anyway. It doesn't really make much difference in the end. the reason we would truss nut versus not truss is because it's pretty to truss, and chickens look great when they're trussed. And for, you know, sometimes presentation is great. Presentation is always important. You know, people say you eat with your eyes, and it really is true that our perception of flavor, our perception of taste is something that we take in from our noses, from our mouths. Sound plays a role in it. Texture plays a big role in it. And sight also plays a big role. And, you know, things that look better do taste better because our brains are easily fooled, and our tongues don't govern our brains. Our brains are governed by all of our senses and all of our old experiences and memories and all that kind of stuff. All right, so now I'm going to get that other thigh. You don't have to worry about sort of really deeply browning it. You know, we're not going for, like, normally if I was, say, browning a chicken thigh for a braise, I would let it sit there until it's basically as dark as it can get without being black. That's sort of the goal with browning for me, usually. In this case, though, we're just looking to give the chicken, those parts of the chicken, a head start. So we don't need it extremely brown. We just need to be sort of a nice sort of pale golden brown. And that's enough to give it a head start so that by the time it gets into the oven, everything's going to cook at the same rate. So I'd say a total of about 5 minutes in the skillet is what we're looking for. Someone can look at the time clock, the timestamp of the video, and tell you exactly. I think in Daniel's recipe calls for about 8 to 10 minutes. I find that ends up being a little bit of an overkill.
Solids in it that burn a little bit, so it makes the chicken nice and brown. Okay, that's good. So I'm going to brush the entire outside of this chicken. It's gorgeous little chicken. And then season it with salt and pepper. I know it seems like a lot of salt, but it's really important for the chicken to have lots of flavor, and that'll do it. And pepper. Okay, this looks gorgeous. Now the next thing I'm going to do is truss it, which is sort of to tie it up so that it cooks evenly. The whole point of trussing is if its little legs are out like this, the legs can very easily get burnt and the meat can get overcooked. So what I want to do is pull it into its body so it cooks really well. And all I have to do is tie the legs together and we'll do that. And you'll see. There are all these very complicated ways to truss a chicken, but this is about as easy as it gets. So I'm going to just take a length of kitchen twine and just tie these little legs together. And I leave long ends so it's easy to take the twine off. Nobody wants to eat twine for dinner. So just like that. And then its little wings just go under here. Just tuck them under. The whole bird doesn't have to be wrapped in twine. I've seen some birds that look like they're in bondage. Roast chicken is just the best kind of comfort food. And the good news is it can be a really simple meal or it can be a really elegant one. Okay, that's ready to go. And now I'm going to make some vegetables. So all the juices from the chicken are going to get into the vegetables and they'll all cook together. It's going to be so delicious. So, into the oven.
Thank you.